Welcome into the BBP. This is the Bengals Beat Podcast presented by Inquirer Sports. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals beat writers, Paul Ener Jr. and Jim Ossarski, invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out the insider news as well as listening on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. Remember, you can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Just search Inquirer Bengals Beat Podcast. And as always, you can listen on our free Cincinnati Inquirer Bengals app. If you don't have the app, well, I suggest rectifying that situation immediately in the App Store. Now, if you're down with BBP, let's go. All right, welcome to the latest edition of the BBP. Paul Dana Jr. and Jim Ossarski here, your Bengals beat writers for Cincinnati Inquirer, back from Baltimore, sufficiently crab caked.
Yeah.
I think I've got my fill of crab cake for probably till we go to Baltimore next year.
Yeah, for another year.
Usually, like, that's the only time I really OD on crab all year is just the Baltimore trip. Going to Moe's and eating getting the special.
Yeah.
And there you are, man. That it's good though.
Yeah, I you know what though, I get a little weirded out when they're still looking at you.
there was one that was giving the stank eye. Like, are you really going to eat me?
And like, he was dead already, but he's still. I don't know.
Do we know for sure he was dead, or was it like the Carl Weathers of crabs?
It could have been the Carl Weathers.
Man, I still got mad guilt over Carl Weathers. Did he ever tweet you back after last week's incident? I know.
Nah.
We kept trying to loop him in.
We tried to.
I don't think he likes, but he wants to get looped in on me basically killing him.
No, I wouldn't either.
No. Really, I really do feel bad about that to all our Carl Weathers fans out there. And if you don't know what we're talking about, you can go back and listen to the first couple minutes of last week's BBP where I thought he was dead. Turns out very much alive, doing pretty well, actually. Life seems to be good for him.
Yeah.
So anyway, we are back from Baltimore after the latest circle of the drain. 19-14 is the finals. The Bengals lose. Harb's taking the safety. Everyone hold.
Yeah.
Which was just kind of an interesting way to end. It literally looked like a movie scene when they do the establishing shot of a massive street brawl.
Right.
And there's just, like, fights everywhere between people.
Right.
It's what it looked like because Baltimore was just trying to hold and the Bengals trying to get it. It looked like they were all fighting. And at first, you know what was going on? I was like, why is everyone fighting?
Right.
This is ridiculous. And then, you know, you realize, oh, okay, they can take the penalty and the game will just end.
Yeah.
But so Bengals lose 19-14. Shocking.
Yeah, it's not anymore. I mean, the Ravens are so bad. It's not like they did anything to make you think they were any good.
They did everything they could to keep the Bengals in it.
Yeah.
The same way the Bills did, the same way the Giants did.
Right.
They went out and did everything they could to allow the Bengals to go get that win that they've so badly needed. And this team just can't do it.
No.
It's just the way it is. It's just what they are.
Yeah. You know, there's no we talked about this in the run-up to this week with, you know, what offensively, what could they do without A.J. Green and Giovanni Bernard, and, you know, it was more of the same. I mean, those even with those guys in the run-up, they just couldn't score, especially in the fourth quarter. That, hey, they won the fourth quarter 5-3.
Yeah, only because they gave them the win on purpose. They still without a touchdown.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, the red zone, which is funny, Paul, because up until Sunday, they had corrected the red zone issue, 9 of 11 in the red zone the last four prior to this, and then go 1-for-5.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just you get one more and you win the game. It's just, you know, but again, that's the story of this team.
Yeah, it is. It's always something.
Yeah.
It's always something. It's an inability to put the whole thing together. Right now, it's the offense. And the defense, for a third straight game, played pretty well. I mean, you know,
yeah,
that's not a good Baltimore offense. So, no. You know, they averaged 19.9 a game and held them to 19.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Right. You know, you didn't exactly kill the world there.
Yeah.
But
you know, still they've played better in recent. They seem to have righted their ship a little bit.
Yeah,
the bar, I mean, was so low.
Right,
they couldn't have been much worse than they had been. But they right. So they've kind of reverted to an above average, but not the level that still is expected of them, but still above right. average. Because they still let every single team score
right.
on the first drive of the game. I mean, it's like it's on purpose.
Right.
Because it, guys are so wide open.
Yeah.
And they just look so clueless out there. And they just go right down and score every single week.
Yeah.
It's like they want to play from behind. And they're like, all right, let's just give them one. Maybe it'll build their – they'll be overconfident. and then now for the second week in a row, the team doesn't score a touchdown after that.
Right.
And for the most part, the Bengals kept him out of the red zone even.
Yeah.
Because Tucker had to start to hit 50-plus yard field goals. He hits 3 50-plussers, yeah. one for 57, which could have been for 62. But yeah. Marv declined and then berated me for asking about right. it. What's new. So all right. So everybody knows where this team is at. We've long, long discussed it this year, and it's over. I mean, it's over. Two and yeah. a half now, and they need it. You know, the only hope they were really holding on to outside of just math was, okay, the North.
Yeah.
And they needed to win that game in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And that's why on Saturday, or last week, Cedric Pierman was called up. We talked about that on the BP2. Right. Because they needed win now.
Yeah.
They were not going to give up on this year. Because if they would have won, you'd feel differently
yeah.
about this division. You'd feel like you got a chance. But, you know, to lose like they lost, you just they don't.
No.
So, I mean they would need either Pittsburgh or Baltimore, just one of those two. And they play each other.
Yeah.
And Pittsburgh plays the Browns.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just one of those two needs to go 3-2 in the last five, and it's impossible for the it's impossible for the Bengals. Even if they win all five, impossible for them to win the division, and obviously they're eliminated
yeah.
from the wild card. So it's over, essentially. So here's kind of the question as we come to terms with that, and where I want to use as our jumping off point. I don't really know where this is going to go. We haven't really. Even just talking, I don't know how much we've really gone down this path, you and I. Do you feel like this season is an aberration or a trend? Paul Dougherty, our esteemed colleague, Doc, wrote about it. This, it was a sort of a line in the middle of his column about their train to 5-10 losses. And the line struck me. It's really the most important aspect when evaluating Marvin Lewis right now, in my opinion. Is this a one-off where things have just gone haywire, but the base is still there,
right?
And these guys are still believing, and it's still Marvin Lewis still has the momentum of five straight playoff seasons despite what's happened this year? Or is this the beginning of the back half of the bell curve where you start to slide?
Well,
it's a loaded question.
Yeah, to me, well, I guess I'll kind of straddle the fence a little bit. One, I don't think you can determine a trend after 1 year, because the trend is or was that this was a playoff team and a talented one. So how can 1 year be a trend? How can one moment be a trend? It could be the start of a trend.
Well, that's what I
don't know. So to me, it could be, but if that's the case, Marvin Lewis is back in 2017, and you dial it up again, and then you find out, because if they go 6-10 or 7-9 and miss the playoffs again, well then there's your answer.
Yeah.
And then you clean house and you're like, okay, that was it. Or they go 10-6, 11-5, rebound with a high draft pick, and maybe some of these other dudes, you know, get their act right, and you're like, well, that was just a one-off. So I can see, but we've touched on this a little bit, Paul, when you go back with these recent draft classes, and if Duke Tobin and the people whose job it is to evaluate personnel take a hard look in the mirror and say, wow, we've really not – done a good job here. If they say that, if they look and say, wow, you know what I mean? And they determine that, maybe they'd say, "What, you know, this is a trend because we've missed. We're not getting the influx of young talent stepping up to fill these holes." You know, but again, maybe they feel, you know, with Cedric Obwehi and Jake Fisher, and, you know, we don't know anything about William Jackson III. You know, Tyler Croft, maybe they feel they need that extra year. They need 2017 to determine that too. You know what I mean? But I could see, so I could kind of see both if that, you know.
I see what you're saying. I do think, and we'll get to this a little more when we bring in a couple of guys that we talked to the last couple of days who are really good on this topic. I don't think that Marvin Lewis has lost the locker room. I think that there is enough equity there, you know, in what's happened. When you go 5 years in a row and there's enough people here that were part of that, that you earn a little bit of, okay, I'll give you a chance to prove that this was just a 1 year,
right,
where just things go wrong. The league sets up that way. First place schedule, London.
Yeah.
Eifert. They can't blame injuries. This was not an injury year, but, you know, really that the front-loaded schedule was brutal and sent them down a path. And a lot of guys getting older that I don't think that any of us anticipated.
Yeah,
I don't think any of us saw that coming.
No, and I don't think they did.
No.
I mean, there are some guys that have definitely fallen off the cliff in 2016 that they
and the loss of Hugh Jackson. I mean,
yeah. You
cannot – this season in many ways reminds me of 2014, and it's similar. They had a lot of change. They had changeover, and, you know, with the new coordinator, and they had it, and Paul G was in his first year.
Yeah.
They had more injuries that year. But Hugh J sort of pulled them out of the abyss that year. Like, he was smoking mirror in his face off.
Yeah.
And he was pushing buttons with everybody to try to get it out of people. And he ended up getting it out of the run game and Jeremy Hill.
Right.
And they found a way to be playing for the division and still made the playoffs. They don't have that. Ken Zampezi is not Hugh Jackson in personality at all, and that's a big difference. I think they don't have somebody that can really help will them through the tough times.
Right.
I mean, that's just not his personality. Hugh Jackson is a will them through the tough times type of guy. Of course, you can point to what's happening in Cleveland. He's got a lot of, you know, history with tough times, but.
I'll counter that with this coaching staff doesn't have that 2014 offensive line.
Yeah.
You know, Andy, for the kudos that we tossed his way early, has not played very well of late.
You think he's dinged?
Yeah.
I think he's hurt more than anybody's letting on.
Yeah.
I think they've had to list him on the injury report.
Right.
Because they can't hide it. And right. They refuse to hide things like that.
No, right.
And you can see it in some of his throws.
Yeah.
Some of them that are just, for a guy who's always accurate,
yeah,
on certain throws, have
right.
not been there. It's yeah.
So, but, you know, just like Clint Bowling and some of these other guys who are on the injury report every week, and yet at the end of the week they're not, so they play, so they have to be judged as if they're healthy. You know, Andy hasn't been that good. So I, you know, as good as he was early.
Yeah, right.
Which you can kind of, you know, you can kind of, Paul, you know, you go to the end of that Giants game, that right shoulder injury, and then you look at what's happened in 2 weeks since to this offense, you know.
And he just keeps taking hits.
And, you know, that, so I agree with you. Yes.
I hear
Hugh is, Hugh and his experience is better than Ken Zampezi in his very first year, without a doubt. I think we all knew that. We all knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
But I would, you know, have – that's what makes football so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You give Ken that 2014 O-line, you know, and a Jeremy Hill that was not – that did not have the baggage of
Does he know to run it enough?
You know, though there's that too. So, I mean, I think it all plays
there's
a part.
No, you're right. There's certainly a lot of dynamics.
Last, they try to match up.
They do. And, you know, this is a lot of excuse making, but it's true. I mean, the Bengals, every team that they've lost to is a winning record. And you look at the NFC East, turned out to be a great year for the NFC East. And they ran into that buzzsaw. And they had the first place schedule, so they had New England and Denver.
Right.
And what are you going to do? They need to win those games.
Yeah.
I mean, they're clearly far from good enough.
Right.
I mean, no one is.
But we knew that, though.
Yeah.
We just didn't. The thing that we didn't expect, Paul, because you and I both, in the season prediction, we did pick this team to make the playoffs, win double-digit games, but, you know.
It was a step back.
It was definitely a step back year we saw coming. I think what we didn't see was this middle stretch, was Mike Nugent being awful in the middle of the year when they needed him to be good, and this offense really struggling in the red zone. Look at, you know, they were so bad early in the red zone. So bad. 42% was awful.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Paul, and I know what we talked about Nugent, but look, man, they're gonna look back at that London swing, that tie game, like instead of being 4-4, into the bye, feeling good, the tenor of the season changed then.
Yeah, well, it did.
And it started a path for the kicker. I know he told me on Sunday that he's feeling good mentally, but he's missed 4 PATs since.
There's no way.
You know what I mean?
There's no way you feel good, man.
So, you know, so something started happening there. And I'm not going to get into the travel and all that stuff, but it's just that game.
But there's a snowball effect.
Right, right.
You know,
it didn't go the right way for them.
It absolutely. When you get into the fourth quarter and you don't expect to win, you wonder if you're going to win.
Right.
You only know what has happened all year, and that's nothing in the fourth quarter. Everything going wrong, not making the big play.
Right.
That is a mental hurdle that in a league that where every game is so close that is the difference between wins and losses. I mean, look, their last four games have been decided by 10 points. They're 0-3-1.
Yeah.
That can be as much as a mental hurdle of the fourth quarter of games as anything.
Yeah, and we wrote about this a couple weeks ago where Marvin addressed it. Tyler Eifert even admitted it was like, the guys who had only ever won, they admitted it's like guys who've only ever stacked victories, how could they pull themselves out of a funk?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, we don't know.
Well, we do now.
Well, yeah, well, we do now, exactly.
do
but
now.
That's part of it, too, you know what I mean? And, and you know, talked to Andrew Whitworth today, and, you know, he's good to go to, obviously, for so many reasons. And you mentioned the close losses, and he's like, you know, Pittsburgh, Tyler Boyd fumbles as they're driving to potentially tie the game. Obviously, with Baltimore situation, fumble away, potentially driving to tie the game. You know, they've had leads. They're not great leads, but they've had second half leads at points of the year.
Yeah.
New England, where the defense, and Carlos Dansby told me this too, and I guess that's why you can think maybe it's an aberration, because at least at this point, Paul, you know, Dansby said there's times where the defense needed to make a stop and we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Witt says there's times when the offense needed to score a touchdown and we didn't. So they're not, I mean, yes, you're going to get some, we need to score more points. Hey, we need to stop some guys. Like, I think that's natural, but, you know, what you said before, I don't think they're tearing at it. They're not tearing each other apart in the locker room at this point. And that, when you split the hairs that finely, Paul, I could see why the front office would say, all right, you know, let's see if 2017 is the bell curve.
Yeah. And so, I mean, to me, that's probably what will happen. You know, we we will spend the rest of this year talking about
right.
it. Everybody will. Yeah. It was brought up really for the first time in a press conference a little bit. Very, not even really brought up, to be honest. Very tiptoed around. Yeah. And Marvin
kind of knocked on the door.
Yeah, not even knocked on the door. I think he threw a snowball at the door.
Yeah.
From the street.
Yeah.
So, to me, in my opinion, we love behind the scenes here.
Yeah.
In my opinion, when you talk about knocking on the door, you only knock on the door so many times. You can't show up at every single meeting with the coach knocking on the door of that question. So I think you got to pick your spots. Today was not that spot. Until they get eliminated, that's the spot to go in on this question. Because he has an out. He has an out right now. You know, you're just thinking about what we everybody that wants us to fire off on Marvin in every press conference. I know you do.
Yeah. Yeah,
I know everyone's sitting there listening, you know, on the radio to the Monday press conference saying, tell him, ask him if he thinks he's getting fired. Tell him he should be blah, blah, blah. You got to pick your spots with this stuff if you want to hear a real answer.
Yeah.
If you want a real, you got to pick your, you can't show up doing it every week. Don't worry. At some point, this topic will 100% be tackled. It will happen. But you got to pick your spots with it, so bear with us on that.
Yeah, and to sort of tie that into the locker room and sort of blend those two together, you know, Clint Bowling, look, they're not delusional. The players know exactly where they're at. They know that they're not very good. But Clint just flat out said, he's like, we have to hold on to it. He's like, this is all we have. We have to hold on to winning five straight, feeling good about the end of the year, and maybe we get lucky.
Right.
Carlos Dansby said the same thing. Cincinnati.com on Monday finished my question before I got to, he said, tank it? No. No, 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 no.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not what we're about here. And, I mean, he used the word, and he said he cut me off on one question, Paul. He's like, was Baltimore the nail in the coffin? He's like, no. We cannot. So, Marvin can't go there. The players can't go there. And honestly, as media members, again, it's not a, you know, they play the game. We know what we see. We know what they are. But you know what? You ask that question in week 11 and something, it's the NFL, something goofy happens.
Yeah.
And we're getting ready for a playoff game. I don't know. It looks bad. So I know what I mean.
You gotta
give them that.
That's people. People are like, "Well, this is stupid. Why would they even try?"
Right.
You gotta try.
As long as there's hope, they have to try.
They're professional athletes, they've got to find something to hang on to, and that's where they're at right now.
Right.
And until the math says it's over, they're gonna go out there and be doing everything that they can. I want to bring in a couple of things real quick. Let's bring in a conversation you had with Vinny Ray on Monday. It was a really big picture about a lot of stuff that we just spent a lot of time talking about. So this is Vinny Ray on sort of you know, the state of the team and the locker room and where they're all at with what has transpired this year.
The mindset is that, number one, it hurts that we can't just win and be in, you know. That's the number one thing that hurts. Number two, you have high expectations, you know. Last 5 years being a playoff team, last year winning the division. You have high expectations, and, you know, it just doesn't work out like that. You know, every year is a new year. And number three, you know, before everybody, we all want to start winning, but a coach used to say this: before you can start winning, you have to stop losing. We have to stop losing, but we've developed some losing habits that we have to correct. You know, we're playing better on defense, but I mean, we just have to start. We just have to find a way to win a game. We just have to stop losing. You know, find a way.
Is that surprising that you? That we're having this conversation because you guys have won so much? Or does that maybe just speak to the league where when you lose by a point or tie or lose by 4 points, like, that's just an, I don't want to say the league caught up to the Bengals in that sense because you guys won a lot of close games. Or is it, I mean, is that surprising to hear, like, to say, like, we need to find a way to win when that's all y'all have done for so long? Is it?
It's a little bit of both, man. I'd say, one, it speaks to just the league because it's talent everywhere. We've had, no mistake about it, we've had a tough schedule. One of our home games was in London. You know, we played against the NFC East, which is one of the hottest, you know, divisions in football right now. But also, it's been us, you know, on special teams. We're not breaking big returns. You know, we need to have bigger returns from us as blockers, myself included, to our returners. You know, everybody, our specialists.
Yeah.
We're not executing offensively, you know. We just coach. I mean, I'm not on offense. I don't contribute there. But I just know coach says in meetings, he goes over all three phases. Yeah. And he says, number one, we can't turn the ball over. You know, we can't do those things. We can't have turnovers. And defensively, you know, we cannot allow teams to drive down the first drive and score touchdowns on us. I say us because I'm included in that. Yeah. I've been the reason why at times, you know, that's happened. We can't allow those things to happen. It's a performance-based business, you know. Like, those of us who aren't performing, they're going to look to replace us. So we have to pick it up, man, like, if not for the sake of the team and for the sake of yourself.
Right.
Like, pick it up for your own self.
Right.
You know, and that's, I challenge myself every week. I try to do something better, and I never played a perfect game. I'm always trying to get better.
Yeah. You know?
And I'm an undrafted player. I was an undrafted player, and it's my seventh year in the NFL, always trying to get better.
Yeah.
You know, always trying to improve, compete with myself. And I just want everybody on our team to compete with ourselves. Challenge yourself to get better every day, and really care about it.
Yeah.
You know, so all of that to say is a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Because I was just kind of venting a little bit.
No, yeah. Well, Adam, you know, to that last point though, Adam said, he's like, I don't see this locker room. He's like, I don't see guy Carlos Dansby said this. He's like, I don't see guys, this team or these guys decide, you know what, we're out, we're done, or close to it, or whatever, and kind of just like pack it in. Is that the sense you get, or is that sort of the message that it's got to be as a captain, is that as you're saying, do it for yourself, do it for the team, to not just kind of float away mentally.
Yeah, and, well, Carlos is right. There hasn't been that.
Yeah.
You know, for the most part, there hasn't been complaining, you know, and that's the one thing we don't want to be complainers, pointing the finger at a different defensive player or offensive player or a special teams player. That's not the right way to do anything to do it, because when you do that, you're not trusting.
Yeah.
You're not trusting, you know, because trusting the process would say, hey, let me improve myself, because as I get better, we all get better.
Yeah.
You know, so there hasn't been any complaining, and we're generally, there really hasn't, and us as leaders, not just captains, but anyone can be a leader, we need to make sure we don't do those things.
Anything in particular from that popped out to you from that conversation that you had with him?
Yeah, I think Vinny was good because, you know, he's a captain and he's a part of the defense and special teams, and I think the fact that he insisted that they're not complaining about their situation, that there's an inward look. I mean, he called himself out. He said, he's like, I've personally allowed touchdowns, you know. And he said, you know, you got to look at it, you know, but you can't point to a specific offensive player, to a specific specialist. It's this whole thing. So that's what stuck out to me at this point, because we've seen it already around the league. We've mentioned it on last week's BBP with players going at each other or teams kind of falling apart or whatever. And, yeah, things may change down the line, but at least as of this recording, as of this week going into Philadelphia, You know, they're not there. They don't want to be there. And, the fact that he sort of broached the topic of it's performance-based.
Yep.
If we don't do this, we're gone.
Yep. You're 100% right. And, you know, there's the one thing that we can guarantee is that there's going to be a lot of player turnover after this year. And the players know that.
Yeah.
That you talk about what he out there playing for. These guys are playing for their jobs.
Yeah.
You know, in part of the snowball thrown from the street at Marvin Lewis, he took it off to talk about the players.
Yeah.
And how the players know that every year is a year where they could be replaced. Everybody in the league. And it's true. I mean,
he kind of put the team on note. You can read that, and I know people are going to be like, what about Nugent? And that's fair.
It is fair.
It's double talk, for sure. But in my opinion, he basically says it's on us as coaches to pull it out of them, and if they don't, we need a new player.
We need a new player.
Right.
That's exactly what he said. That's an exact quote. It's up to us as coaches to pull it out of them. If they can't, they need a new player. And the instant response is, no, you need a new coach.
Right,
you're saying it's on you, and you couldn't do it, and you drafted these guys.
Right.
You're the ultimate team of you better be of draft develop. You draft with the knowledge of who can and how they can develop. We've been told that for years.
Right, it's
been the reason for their success. Yeah. So don't tell me now it's up to you to get it out of them, and when they don't, it's the player's fault.
Right.
You drafted these guys, and you drafted them with 100% knowledge of how you were going to get it out of them and what type of player you need to be able to get it out of them and all of that. So you can't then turn and be like, well, then we need a new player.
Right.
It doesn't work.
Then not get new players.
And then
when you have a chance to.
And here's the thing, and I will address Nuge quickly and move forward.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to keep doing this. The problem with not letting go of Mike Nugent is the message it sends to the locker room. It's the message it sends to everybody that there really isn't accountability at the end of the day. That no matter how much you screw it up or cost your team games or put possible wins in jeopardy, we'll hang on to you because you've been around. And we won't go find another option, even if there is one that's another option available.
Yeah.
It's the message it sends to the locker room. And, you know, that's what the players are saying.
Yeah.
I mean, the players are sitting there looking around like, are we going to try to fix this or not?
Right.
And, you know, there's a little too much of that across all three phases.
Yeah, because it started with New England when they benched Cedric Obwehi. And then they did this rotation, and then we saw it briefly in Baltimore where Russell Bodine was pulled off the field for a touchdown drive, and then the ensuing drive of the fourth quarter was a three and out or five and out. And then Russell was back in. And Ken Zampezi and Marvin just didn't even want to touch that one.
No. I mean, I'm asked every which way to Sunday about what the heck was about, and it was the closest thing I got to an answer was Marvin said, we needed to calm the troops.
Yeah, so strange.
What does that even mean?
No, I don't know. Calm especially because it wasn't even coming out of the half. Like, Russell played the first series of the second half.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that was very strange.
Calm the troops with a backup who's pretty much never played.
Right.
He's going to come in and calm everyone down.
Yeah, it was really weird. So, like, they've kind of, like, tiptoed into some of that, you know? But, you're right.
Defensively, it was talked about, but we haven't really seen a ton of it.
No, the closest, again, you know, was Carlos Dansby's snaps have been reduced in spots.
The signing of Gilberry.
Yeah, Gilberry signing. And then, you know, to me, Paul, what I thought was interesting late on Sunday was after Clayton Fedulum kind of flashed filling in for Josh Shaw, Shaw comes back in the game, the next defensive possession, Josh Shaw's at nickel, and Fedge was next to George Iloka. Darko was in our sit on the sideline. So, again, it's sort of a singular play, you know, grand scheme of things, who knows, but...
And Darquez had some rough moments again in Baltimore. It goes back to the message it sends when it just seems like there's opportunities there to show that there's accountability and the enforcement of accountability,
right?
And sending messages that way, but they're not really taken.
I've said this. I guess you could call me like a quote unquote Nuge defender. Look, if the street guys aren't that great, but at this point, I think you can, street guy at 3-7-1. I'm falling into that where, like, well, 3-7-1.
What are you gonna do?
Street guy?
Well, 3-7-1. Who cares?
Right. So you at least send the message.
Yeah. So here's my point. Here's my point. With the Nuge situation where you're just going to say the actual quote was, "We are where we are," from Marvin when asked about Nugent. And then yesterday, to open the post-game press conference, I opened with a question about how if there's an extra level of frustration or what do you do when it's literally the same things costing you every single week. It's the kicker. It's right tackle. It's the opening drive defensively. It's the same things, like consistent themes. You know what the answer was? Looked at me and shrugged and says, "It is what it is."
Yeah.
AKA, we suck. And we suck in these spots, and there's nothing I can do about it. So to say it is what it is yesterday, to say we are where we are, to not even try to make a move on Nugent, it's a wave of the white flag. It just has that feel of, yeah.
Well, maybe, you know what, Paul? Maybe it's along those lines, maybe it's a way of him saying, if it was just the kicker, we would have done it. Or if it was just starting Eric Winston for 100% of the snaps, we would have just done it.
Yeah.
Maybe it is what it is, or we are where we are. Is that we're a team that's going to go 4-12, and each one of these things by themselves could be rectified, but it doesn't really matter because all of these issues are going to continue because it's just a bigger problem as a whole. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It feels like a bit of a white flag wave and going against everything that Marvin coming out and saying we need help. I mean, Jesus. Think about that. I mean, this is the guy who's preached, let's just go one game at a time and win our games and keep our head down and grind and shovel the snow and pound the rock and chisel the dirt and whatever the heck implement you want to go into a surface, you know, coming out and being like, I don't know, we need some help. I mean, it just has this feel of whatever, of just a complete resigning yourself, which a lot of fans are saying, yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Resigning yourself to an inevitability here. And that's fine. I mean, that's what most of the fans feel like. Yeah. And let's tank for the pick, right? But to hear it come from your head coach is just kind of it's a really interesting thing. And I think personally that he had built up so much hope into that Baltimore game being the one that could turn it around. Because you could point to the division in the North and this team that you beat five games in a row, you know how to beat them and go into their house and steal momentum. And now you're looking at the division as a chance. And when it didn't happen, I think he feels feels like, okay, now I'm willing to give up on it.
Which is funny to say that, Paul, because he also punted from the Ravens 38 and didn't go 3rd-14 and tell your defense to make a play.
Yeah.
So I mean, so he didn't coach that way.
He doesn't coach with urgency.
So
yeah, that's never been his thing, right? One thing we talked about earlier, and this is sort of and this plays into the concept of just saying ugh to everything. Talk with Drake or Patrick after the game, and I want a place where you could also, because it's kind of entertaining. But I sort of was asking him, and you'll hear, I'm sort of asking him about if that just stuff just wears on these guys.
Yeah.
When it's just every week with the same stuff, and if it does wear you down. He had a really good answer to that. And then I just kind of mentioned that he was playing with a little more juice yesterday, and well, he decided to go off on Steve Smith.
Right.
Who, if you remember, called him trash. Well, it was trash F-boy.
Right.
That got caught on TV cameras last year. They haven't forgotten that.
No.
At all.
No.
So that came out. So anyway, here's a conversation with Drake Kirkpatrick after the loss at Baltimore.
Does the snowball of this losing streak, does it kind of wear on you as it keeps going?
Should.
As a player? Does it to you?
To me, exactly. 100% it do. You know, I'm a winner. I've never been in this position. But at the end of the day, you know, when you're a competitor, you keep competing, and especially when you're back against the wall, you always find a way to get out of it. So, I don't want to talk about if it's not this year, see it next year. You know, we still got a great opportunity in front of us.
It looked like, I mean, I don't know, you always bring a lot of juice, but it looked like you were kind of trying to bring a little extra today. Was that something? Am I seeing it wrong, or did you feel like you were trying to do that to get guys
89 going? Said I was trash. So right. If I'm trash, what you do today, you know?
Right.
Shit.
Yeah.
So clean that up.
Right.
Who's trash today?
Right.
That's what I was on.
You start right. That early?
I didn't have to say shit.
No, he started that early to you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he said what he had to say last year. I just want to let him know.
Yeah.
Am I trash now? 89 looked the trash to me.
Yeah.
He didn't do nothing.
Yeah.
Period.
So you wanted. I wanted
for any one of them. Didn't care.
Okay, so there's Drake Kirkpatrick. Clean that up. That was just great. It was so out of nowhere. Like, I didn't ask about Steve Smith. And that's not what I was trying to go for.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you were. You were trolling.
I was trolling. I was not trolling. I honestly just thought, you know, it was brought up. There were some weird times, Dre was really celebrating.
Yeah.
Like, the tackle 8 yards downfield on 4th and 1.
Yeah.
When he was, like, pounding his chest.
Yeah.
And then there were a couple other times where he just was really getting into it more than normal. Yeah. And he's normally pretty exuberant, but it was just, and I noticed it. I just figured I'd ask him, and then he told me why. Who's trash?
Right.
And Pac-Man retweeted it. When I tweeted out Dre's quote, Pac-Man instantly retweeted it. They have not forgotten.
No.
They have not.
Well, you know, you argue Steve Smith's 37 coming off an Achilles injury. It's
you probably should be able to stop him.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, so there's a little bit where that's at. How about you tell me why you're mad? Are you mad about anything?
I'm always mad.
I know you're always mad because I have a couple contributions as well. But I want you to tell me why you're mad today.
Bathroom stall doors that open in.
What?
Yes. Think about it. Dude, that stuff really, it drives me crazy.
You know what I don't like? Bathroom stall doors that have the big hook on the inside. So when he opens out, when you open it, and you go through and it starts to shut on you, and you catch your shoulder on that hook.
No.
Have you ever had that problem before?
As long as it opens out, it's cool, man. Look.
I got hooked this weekend. It was painful.
No one wants to have to like use a stall in a public, whether it be gas station, restaurant, Oasis, airport, you know, press box, whatever. But look, those things are usually really small. Men are gross. The stall door that opens in, that forces you towards the toilet, is not good.
So you prefer to take a step back, observe the situation, decide if you want to shut it or not, not have to lean in, hold the bowl.
You know, and then if you got to take care of business, and when you want to leave the stall, the door should open out.
Yeah, you don't because have to squeeze in over the toilet. Yeah,
maybe touch it with your jeans.
No. Oh, yeah, that's a problem. Yeah, that's a problem.
If you got to, you're traveling, you got a coat,
mm-hmm.
That's when the hook is good.
Hook is good.
You need a hook.
You do. Why can't the hook be on the inside of the door a little bit? You know what I mean? Why has it got to be right in the middle or even towards, sometimes towards the edge where it's easier to get shouldered? Can you get a hook to the shoulder? That's what I'm saying. I think
it's your own fault.
I did sort of sluggishly slop my way in there. I was just sort of tired. No, but so here's what I'm mad about. Literally no seat on an airplane should recline. Why? You want to recline? Go to first class. Plenty of space.
Yes, there you go.
Listen, if you're in coach, have a little bit of courtesy that the person behind you likes their kneecaps, wants to keep them, and could possibly have them shoved up against the back of your chair that you have decided to drop into my mouth. You decided to just come all the way back. Before we even leave the tarmac, you wait for the people. You so perfectly wait for them to come by to their last check. As soon as they sit down, kush, kush. Never mind the fact that that was incredibly painful. You know, I'm not the type to just push back, but it was close. I was considering to push back. And then I hit the trifecta today. I had the recliner in my face. Dude next to me, no respect for the armrest barrier, overflowing into my space. And the screaming child row behind me. I'm like,
a lot of screaming kids, man. I won that lottery. There was one at 4:40 in the morning in Baltimore, and this kid is screaming.
Jeez.
I Snapchatted that. I didn't put the mom and the kid on blast. I just recorded it though. Like nobody's got time for this at 4:40 in the morning. And you know she's walking on the plane. Everyone, you know she's getting that look.
Yeah,
from every person at someone that. No one next to him. Like, oh my God! Please, keep going.
Yes. No. Yeah.
I won that lottery.
Landed
today.
Right in the seat behind me.
Oh.
I was like, I'm sitting there in the middle of the trifecta. Like, this is the Bermuda Triangle of airplane hell right now. Yeah. So that was what made me. I hate to steal your thunder because you're usually madder than me. But these Monday road travel days bring the mad out of me.
Yeah.
I've been hanging out with you too much. Normally a positive guy. You know what else is going to make me mad?
What's that?
Actually, this makes me happy. This makes me happy. It is officially time where I can officially denounce the stupid, ridiculous excuse for a franchise that is the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah.
The bet is officially lost. Only thing that hangs in the balance is them holding on to Gus.
Yeah.
Who, Bengals fans, can appreciate this? And of all the coaches in the history of the NFL to coach at least 59 games, has the worst winning percentage at 220-something, 230-something. It is lower than the epic .268 number attached to Dave Shula. Dave Shula. Well worse than Dave Shula. That is a truly incredible feat. I never thought we'd see that day that someone would go below Dave Mo. But so now that the bet is officially over, I can denounce them as a team. I no longer look in their direction. I officially go from their supporter and believer to they are my arch nemesis. If they could just hold on to Gus for a little bit.
If they just hold on to Gus for a little
could
bit.
Could really save me a little cash. Which, by the way, was pointed out to me that for Cyber Monday, Ruby was putting $20 gift cards on every $100 gift card bought. That could save me a little bit.
Yeah, good.
That could really save me a little bit. If you know you're going.
Right.
I mean, that could save me like $40 right there.
Right.
Off of the 200 plus tab that it's going to end up being. Thanks to the stupid Jets.
So where do you think Skinny sits? Is Hugh like cried in his post-game press conference? You think Skinny's going to get that?
Sits the same place he did when we made the bet and we were in New York with zero wins. Although, really, isn't the only bit of drama left in the season is Bengals at Browns?
Yeah.
Coming off a bye week, Hugh with 2 weeks to scheme.
Yeah.
2 weeks to scheme. He could play Josh McCown.
Yeah.
Who's
RG3 will be back at that point, actually.
Maybe even RG3. They could have maybe a quarterback who has a clue, who wasn't just a dude on the practice squad the week before, right, come out in the spread option.
He was going to have three QBs on the field. RG3, Terrell Pryor, Josh McCown.
All out there together.
Why not?
And at home in December, run down Bengals, coming off another bad home out where they got booed for 3.5 straight hours. Going to Cleveland, those players know this is our chance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's how they look at it. That's how they look at it.
This is your Super Bowl.
Yeah. Battle of Ohio.
That's got the chance to be the rock bottom moment. That's the kind of thing that could get a coach fired.
Yeah.
If we circle back that wagon, you go up there and you take the L to old Hugh, and you're the only loss.
Oh.
Or the only win for the Cleveland Browns. They go 1-15 with one win against the Bengals. You're considering some things. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. It's the only drama left. It's the only drama left. And somewhere there's all the Bengals fans are sitting here saying, ooh, I think I'm going to be rooting for Hugh J. You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a little bit of the drama left in this guy.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
I do owe one Twitter follower a shout-out, at Mr. K. Cincy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I told him I'd give him a shout-out. I did not think Deshaun Williams was going to clear waivers.
Yeah, we talked about that. I was...
Yeah, I'm surprised.
You were on the order.
Chris Lewis Harris didn't clear waivers.
Yeah.
I thought
he's
Deshaun
played
Williams,
some. Deshaun Williams has never played.
Yeah, I thought Deshaun Williams would get picked up by another squad. He didn't, and the Bengals brought him back to the 53-man on Monday, putting Shockey Brown on IR.
Yeah. I mean, at some point, maybe we'll see Deshaun play this season.
Yeah, Brandon Thompson's coming back in a few weeks, maybe.
Yeah, who knows with that. Before we get out of here, I do want to shout out I want to apologize and shout out our great listener, emailer, who sent us an idea for a closeout song today.
Yeah.
Which was The Lonesome Kicker by Adam Sandler, which is a great idea.
Yeah.
So definitely shout out for the suggestions. We love the song suggestions. I'm not going to use it only because, in case you couldn't tell a little bit ago, I am exhausted by the Nugent topic. It's been too many weeks in a row. If they would have cut him today, I think I would have gone with it for sure.
Yeah.
But the fact that they didn't, I just can't. I can't go there.
Yeah.
You've been coming up empty on the song list the last couple of weeks. Yeah.
I don't John Sad song. Get out of here.
That was a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
So, didn't have any last week. So, do you have anything this week, or do you need me to come up with something?
Yeah, I'm tapped out.
Okay.
These guys, I don't even know anymore. You know?
I don't even know what to say about these guys.
Like, in the fifth quarter on Sunday, you know, I went with Donna Summer's Last Dance, because I'm like, you know, it's not over, but... You know, see, I didn't kill Carl Weathers like you did. I'm like, I went with the dance analogy where it's not over, it's not dead, you got one more song. It could be fun. Last Dances could be fun, but it's kind of sad. But, you know, I don't want to do that, obviously, you know. But, you know, these guys, they're not inspiring.
They were very uninspiring. See, I have an idea for what I want the song to be. I've got it, and people might not like it. So it's a song by The Damned. You know The Damned?
I know of them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's aptly titled for this week.
There's a lot that's apt about this. So The Damned, which is a very fitting band for this, have a song called Is It a Dream? And I think that's sort of the, is this a dream? Or is this, like, life? Is this real?
Yeah.
So it's their chorus is it a dream? What does it mean? Oh, is it a dream? What have I seen?
Yeah.
That's what the Bengals are trying to figure out right now.
Are you going to sing this for us?
No, that's as close as we just got was that.
All right.
That was it.
I was going to say,
I'm going a cappella.
If me not having good song endings mean you're going to sing your songs, no. That's even better.
That's not at all what's going to happen. So I'm bringing in The Damned, fittingly, to come in and bring in their Is It a Dream? As we all sort of wonder what everything that we're seeing sort of means to this team.
Yeah.
So The Damned are here. And Jim and I are out, so we will talk to you at the BBP2 later this week. Have a good one. Standing.